Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Matt Giglio.
I'm Min Dong. 15 days till the college basketball season tips off.
15 days indeed, and we are now back with the next episode, and we are going with the Big East today. Obviously, 2 weeks from tomorrow, or probably you'll be seeing this tomorrow, 2 weeks from then, the season will be starting. Obviously, we're very excited to this time of year. We've seen a lot of preseason games, and some pretty surprising stat lines and scores from some of these preseason games. I know, obviously, it's the preseason for a reason, but some very surprising stuff already has happened in the college basketball world. So I'm very excited to see what ends up going on in 2 weeks from tomorrow. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, very excited as well. Just came back from the Bryant scrimmage. Had to leave early to do this, but they looked really good. I hope they beat Clemson this year.
Yeah, and Clemson has their own Midnight Madness thing. It's called Basketball on Bowman, which is the field. So I'll be going to that on Friday to see what the team's looking like. So, yeah, obviously 15 days, and Big East looking like a very good conference once again. The Big East had, I believe it was four teams from the Big East that made it to March Madness last year. I know Villanova made it. I know UConn made it. I know who else made it? Creighton made it. And I know the sleeper Georgetown made it as well. So that would add up to four. So obviously some very good stuff from the Big East. Four was not the number we expected this team to have. And well, maybe you could have, but obviously some teams definitely fell a little bit short, like Xavier and Seton Hall, two teams we had probably make it to March Madness, but didn't really live up to the hype. So yeah, obviously 11 teams in this conference. Now we're going to do a rundown. So let's just get started with your Big East Player of the Year.
Yeah, I'm going with a little bandwagon pick, Colin Gillespie of Villanova. 14 points, 3.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists. Last year, obviously, the reason why Villanova was fell short of the tournament was because he got hurt. And yeah, he's a first team All-American. That just came out, and yeah, he's going to be good for them this year.
Yeah, we'll talk about the All-American teams, and we'll give our own opinions, obviously, to big as right before the season does start. My player of the year, Gillespie's probably the front runner. I'm going to go with a little bit of a dark horse-ish. This is definitely the second option for player of the year if you look at the Big East. Julian Champagny for sure from St. John's. Yeah, I know you're very big on St. John's and Champagny, but Champagny averaged 20 points a game, 7.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 1.5 steals, and also one block per game last year. A very good two-way player, obviously shown by the scoring and the defensive stats as well. He's definitely the focal point for the St. John's team, and he's going to be one of the reasons why St. John's hopefully turns up and beats one of the teams we see rising, definitely a huge couple spots with a lot of guys leaving in this Big East Conference. So obviously Champagny, the key piece and the key focal point for this team. So we'll see how St. John's can go, and we'll see if this team can make the march for the first time in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of St. John's, that is my dark horse. The two backbone guys of this program is back. Champagne, obviously, like you mentioned, and Posh Alexander, the freshman of the year and the defensive player of the year in the Big East. They hit on a bunch of transfers. Aaron Wheeler, Steph Smith, and Montez Mantis, all high major caliber transfers. And, yeah, you can never count out that full court press. This team, high risk, high reward.
Definitely. And that press is probably one of the most dangerous in all of college basketball. Definitely works very efficiently with this St. John's team. Very excited to see it in full gear once again this season. My dark horse, man, I've been talking about this team for a couple of years now. And finally, I believe it is now time to unleash the light at the end of the tunnel. This is the key team I've been saying this phrase with. DePaul is my dark horse here. Only one starter does return, but most of the bench does return. They do lose Charlie Moore, yes, but they do return Javon Freeman-Liberty. New head coach Tony Stubblefield, he will see light finally once again for DePaul. The key piece here is the transfers. Jalen Terry from Oregon and also Yor Ani from SMU coming over. Watch out. I do believe that DePaul is definitely a sleeper in this conference this year.
Yeah, and speaking of DePaul, I have them at number 11, dead last in my Big East rankings. 100% disagree with you. Sorry, DePaul fans. I think you're going to have to wait just a little bit more.
Well, I mean, at least this team is not last in my rankings because I don't think they're going to be last this year in the Big East. The team I have last at number 11 is Marquette right here. Definition of average season last year. They had so many great quality wins, so many great, bad quality losses as well. Definitely evened out on the year. This team does not return any starters, only returns some of the bench from last year, looking like a rebuild season definitely for new head coach Shaka Smart, obviously coming over from Texas. Shout out to Shaka. Obviously, he's my guy, but I really do think Marquette will struggle this year. Do bring in Daryl Morcel from Maryland, obviously, which is a huge addition, but I really do not – I'm not unsure if he's enough to carry this Marquette team out of the bottom or maybe even the bottom three. But, yeah, very young team now. A lot of new freshmen coming in this team. Marquette, I think, needs 1 year to rebuild.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. I have them at number 10. Going to be a rebuild for this program. Year one of Shaka Smart. All five starters are gone. Like you mentioned, Daryl Morcel is in and some solid recruits. It's going to be a long ways to go for this program.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. And now moving to my number 10 team, I do have a team that maybe shouldn't be here, but I really do think this team might struggle this year a lot. Actually, correction. I'm going to do a mid-episode switch. I'm going to put Georgetown down here. After reconsideration, I will put Georgetown here. Yes, so Georgetown's my 10. A surprise team last year, obviously. Out of nowhere, they steal a bid for March Madness. Everyone knows the story of what happened. They do return only two stars and lose some of the bench. Javon Blair gone, DeMarco Pickett gone, and obviously Quadis Wahab, the big man, is also gone. They're bringing Caden Rice from Citadel and 7'2 freshman Ryan Matumbo. Should be definitely a huge presence and maybe even freshman of the year candidate as well. I think Georgetown is a team who could move up a couple spots and surprise a lot of teams once again this year. But obviously it comes down to what Patrick Ewing has in store, because I think Georgetown has talent, but I think a couple other teams have a little bit more in this conference.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. I have Georgetown at 9 as well. You said it best. And the thing that I just have one more thing to add, they lack depth, especially with Eastern Kentucky transfer Trey King back in the portal. If you haven't heard, he was ineligible to join the team. And yeah, now he's back in the transfer portal. So now their depth is bad.
Definitely very bad indeed. And I think that's why Georgetown might struggle this year, because they definitely had a lot of depth last year. And they had a shaky start to the season, but they definitely turned it up as the end of the year went on. Now time for my number 9 team. I'm putting Creighton here at number 9. They only return some bench pieces, lose all 5 starters, and they're definitely going to take a step back this season after being the second team in the Big East last year. They do lose franchise great Marcus Zagorowski, as well as Christian Bishop, Mitch Ballack, Denzel Mahoney, and also Damian Jefferson. Still bringing Keyshawn Wiesel from McNeese, and also freshman Ryan Nemhard coming in as well. Going to be a huge piece right off the bat. Still don't know if they have enough, but I do have to say one thing. It is Cockbrenner season. Shout out to Ryan Cockbrenner. He's going to be a huge piece to this Creighton team, and I'm really excited to see what he can do, because he's definitely a fan favorite for that Creighton Blue Jays team.
Yeah, I agree with you. Creighton, honestly, my hot take. They were the national champions of last year. I thought they were going to beat Gonzaga. Put up a good fight in the first half. Second half, you know, Gonzaga did Gonzaga. But, yeah, Creighton at number 8 for me. They returned 0 starters, some bench. But they actually do have a top 10 recruiting class this year. The offense, you know what the offense is like. They'll always put up a good number of points. But it's hard to fully project this team right now. They're just all inexperienced, with the exception of Cockbrenner.
Definitely agree with you. The experience is definitely not there for Creighton. It will definitely get there as the season goes on, but we'll see what obviously Coach McDermott has in store. Now time for number 8. I do have DePaul here at number – are we at number 8 or number 9? We're at number 8, right?
Yeah.
All right, number 8. I do have DePaul here at number 8. Only one starter and most of the bench drew return. This is a mid-episode switch, by the way. Do lose Charlie Moore, like I talked about. This is my dark horse team. That's all you really got to know. I have big expectations for DePaul this year. They definitely did a lot of great stuff, and obviously – they beat Providence in the first round of the playing games of the Big East last year. And sure, they do lose their top option, Charlie Moore. I really do think these two transfers in Jalen Terry and Yor Ani coming in, huge pieces right off the bat for DePaul. And their recruiting class, their freshman class is going to be pretty solid as well. So I really do love DePaul as a sleeper. Watch out. I think the light's here, man. I know they can definitely move up, over, down a couple spots. But I really do think DePaul is legit this year. So watch out. This team's going to be competing, and they will not get blown out in every single game. Like it kind of has been in the past. So I'm very excited to see what DePaul has in store.
Mm-hmm. At number 7 for me, I got Providence. I think they're a dark horse team to monitor in this conference. They're definitely a tournament team, in my opinion. 3 starters are back. Outdoor is also in the field. Watch out for this team. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people this year.
Definitely agree with you. A lot of people do have Providence down. I have them here at number 7 as well. 3 stars and most of the bench do return, like you just said. They could see a jump up or down. They got upset, obviously, by DePaul in the first round last year. do return Nate Watson, A.J. Reeves, Andrew Bynum as those big three. Big addition also with Al Durham from Indiana coming over. This team should definitely compete, but I really don't think they're as competitive as these top six. I think Providence is kind of in their own tier, maybe with obviously the number six team. But I think these top five are very special, and it's going to be very hard to compete with those top five.
The number six team, I think, is another team to monitor. It is Butler. All five stars return for Butler, and they are finally healthy. You saw them last time when they were healthy. They were a top 25 team. They will firmly be in the tournament, I believe, if they remain healthy, and they do have five double-digit scores coming back.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. Butler, definitely the number six team here. When they're healthy, this team's very good, like you said. If they're not healthy, they're not that great. But obviously, they do return the five double-digit scores, like you said, Bryson Z, Jair Bolton, Rice Golden, Chuck Harris, and also Aaron Thompson. Have a lot of great other guys in there as well, like Bo Hodges coming over from ETSU last year. Should be another key piece to this team. So I'm really excited to see what Butler has to offer when they are healthy and fully healthy, because this team could be dangerous and definitely sparks upset potential to some of these top five teams in the Big East this season.
Mm-hmm. And approaching the top five, I have Seton Hall at number five. Three starters and some guys in the transfer portal are on the team. And this, you know, this Seton Hall fan base, they are very stubborn. They want Kevin Willard out, but Kevin Willard is a great coach. That backcourt, they have Kale and Roden. I think that's good of a backcourt as any program in the country. This will be a very competitive team, and I think have an offside shot at the title.
Yeah, definitely. And they made a lot of offseason moves themselves. Obviously, they do lose. Obviously, their franchise star and Mamu. Shout out to Mamu. He's been I believe he's been playing the Bucks a little bit from what I can tell. But obviously, what do you say?
He's in the rotation.
Yeah, so he's been getting some PT for the reigning champs. But love to see him get a ring. He'd be one of the guys I want to see. Also, shout out Charles Bassey. He got his first career points the other day as well. Obviously, most of the rookies have, so shout out to the rookies who have been getting PT in the NBA. We love to watch them and see what they're up to, obviously, past college. But yes, back to Seton Hall. Three stars and some of the bench do return. Like you talked about, the backcourt of Roden and Kale should be very good once again. Obviously, Bryce Aiken is also back as a sixth man, probably. They do add a lot of great guys, though. Jameer Harris and obviously his brother. Jameer Harris from American. The brother is a four-star recruit, I believe. Alex Yentra coming over from South Florida. And also the underrated one, Kadari Richmond, is coming over from Syracuse. One really not really talked about, to be honest. Seton Hall remains a contender. I believe they're definitely the number five team in this Big East.
Mm-hmm. Number four team, in my opinion, Xavier. Four stars and a bench all back from a great team who just had a very late season collapse. They collapsed big time at the end of the season. Sorry, Zach Freemantle, Paul Shrugs, Nate Johnson. They're all conference caliber players. Jack Nunji, he's an underrated pickup. And this team, I have them in my top 25 last episode. You'll probably see them in my top 25 next episode.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember if I put this team in my top 25. I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, Xavier, definitely the number four team in this conference. Very hot start to the season, like you talked about, very cold finish. I remember this team could not shoot anything going for them. In one of the games I watched, I believe it was a Seton Hall or the UConn game. They got blown out by one of those two teams. I don't remember which team it was. But this team is very dangerous if they can remain consistent throughout the full year. Return, like you talked about, Zach Freemantle, Paul Scruggs, Nate Johnson as those top three. Jack Nunji from Iowa comes in, and also Jerome Hunter from Indiana. Xavier should be legit if they can stay consistent. If they can, this team definitely should be. We should be seeing this team in March. Probably won't compare to when they were the one seed a couple years ago, but it definitely could be a pretty decent seed in this March Madness tournament this upcoming season.
Mm-hmm. Now approaching the top three. At number three, I have UConn here. They return essentially everyone except their star, James Bouknight. But I think they're going to be just fine without him. Always a good thing having a Hurley coach. They'll always be competitive as long as he's at the realm. Very good team and easily a tournament team.
Yeah, I think this is an easy tournament team as well. I do love UConn. I got them close spots higher. Number three, St. John's is where I have St. John's. St. John's, they have all the pieces to the puzzle this year, I think. They do return two starters, yes, and most of the bench. Who are these two starters? You talked about them earlier. Julian Champagny and Posh Alexander. The two key pieces to this St. John's success last year. Obviously, the transfers are also very good. Aaron Wheeler from Purdue, Steph Smith from Vermont, Montez Mathis from Rutgers. This team should be legit, and they have all the pieces to make it to March. This defense is going to be elite, and it's one of the reasons why they're so successful with that press. So I'm going to really be monitoring and seeing how that press goes, because that is their bread and butter. And then if they can get that down to a T, this team should definitely make it to March.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. That's why I have St. John's, my dark horse, at number two. That full court press, such a low floor, but such a high ceiling. You never know what's going to go with that press. It's on their top 25 team, and it's not on. It's due for a collapse, obviously. But, yeah, St. John's has the pieces to make the tournament easily this year.
Definitely agree with you. That's why they're going to be so good, hopefully, this year in the Big East. Now it's time for my number two team. Who might that be? I actually do have Villanova here as my number two team. And a big hunch, I understand, but I really do think Villanova might take a little bit of a dip. Four stars and most of the bench do return. They had a very good season despite losing Gillespie towards the end of the season. He returns alongside Jermaine Samuels and Caleb Daniels. Pretty good freshman class led by Trey Patterson as well. Villanova should be a lead again, but they do lose, obviously, Jeremiah Robinson Earl. So that could be the key factor on why they maybe drop a spot. But Villanova is Villanova. They are going to be a very good team year in and year out. So I'm very excited to see what they can do. But I do not have them as the number one team this year.
Mm-hmm. I have Villanova as the number one team this year. I think by a good margin, just run it back for this program. Four starters and most of the bench return. A lot of good recruiting class. Trey Patterson still has not played a game. Will finally get some action for this program. I think this team is easily a Sweet 16 team.
Sorry, my computer just bugged out there. But, yes, now time for my number one team. Number one, man, I got UConn at number one. I'm very excited to see what UConn has in store. I know they do lose James Buchnight, and they obviously they lost very early last year in round one to Maryland. But I really do think this team is legit, and they have all the pieces besides Buchnight coming back, four stars and some of the bench players. You talk about the guys coming back, R.J. Cole and Tyrese Martin are the two guys to look forward to, but there's a lot of key pieces on the bench as well. That made a pretty good contribution to UConn last year. And also you had freshman Corey Floyd Jr., a very key piece. And we saw a lot of him this past season, in the Peach Jam, obviously, with that team final team. So Coach Hurley, man, he is going to have another good chance for a very good bid in this conference and also in March Madness. So I'm very excited to see what UConn has in store. And shout out to UConn. Where's my sticker at? I know my sticker's on here. So there it is. You can see where my finger is. Shout out to UConn. I got to show them a little bit of love for sending me a sticker. So, yeah, UConn is my number one team.
Yeah, and I see another sticker as well, top right of your
Yeah, I see it right here. I knew I had another one on there. So, yeah, it's right over there. So, shout out to UConn.
Yeah, and the question we ask every conference, how many bids do you think this conference will get?
Yeah, this year should be pretty interesting. I really do think that this conference could get four once again. I think those top four are legit. But I'd not be surprised if maybe five could come out of the Big East. It really just depends on, like we talked about, those quad games for the non-conference schedule and if these teams start to beat up on each other in the conference play for the Big East. But I really do think four should be the definite number, but it could be five if a team decides to sweep in like Georgetown in the Big East tournament, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I think they're getting at least five in this year, and at most I think they'll get seven or eight. But I think they're getting at least.
You say seven or eight?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
They've done it before, so I think they could do it again. But obviously, you see the conferences we've saved for last; those are the big hitters, and those are the reasons why the Big East might only get four.
Definitely agree with you. The next one we do have up, like you talked about, the Mountain West, a conference that is in for a lot of good treats because I do think the Mountain West is going to be very hard to rank. There's a lot of great teams coming back. Obviously, the Mountain West only had two teams make it last year in San Diego State and Boise State made it, right? No, they didn't make it. Utah State made it.
Yes.
Yes, okay. But yeah, I mean, a couple more teams could have made it, and they were just on the cusp. Obviously, Colorado State was a play-in team that didn't make it. They were the third team, I believe. And then you got Boise State and Nevada, who also could have made it. So a lot of great teams returning for the Mountain West. So I'm very excited to get to it next episode.
I am as well. The Mountain West, always a good conference to cover. I think our multi-bid conference this year.
Definitely, and I'm very excited to get to that. Either doing back-to-back, so we'll see you tomorrow, or we'll see you on Wednesday. I got to do the math on the timing because we still got a lot more conferences to go. But after the Mountain West, we get the Power 5 conferences. So we're almost here to the big names. And obviously, the Big East is a very big name conference. But once we get to those Power 5, It's going to be very hard to rank them because there's just so much talent within those Power Fives. Because, you know, all the mid-major guys usually transfer to the Power Fives. That's the destination you want to be, especially this year with the last conference we have this year, the SEC.
Yeah, 15 days left, and I'm just so excited.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, we've been looking at the scrimmage stats, and we were sending each other some stuff last night on who we saw. Maybe they have some struggles in the preseason, but obviously it is only the preseason. So, I mean, you can't really expect too much from that. But, I mean, it's just really exciting looking at some of these stats and just seeing what's going on. But, obviously, 15 days, like you talked about, the season's almost here. And once it gets here, I'm just so excited. And hopefully can catch as many games as I can here. And if I go to Greenville and watch the March Madness games, I'm just going to try and get as many games under my belt this year because last year couldn't really do that due to COVID. So, I'm hopefully going to enjoy the fan experience for a college basketball fan and hopefully get the full experience with a lot of great games this year.
Yeah, especially with both of us attending Division I schools, that should not be a problem.
Yeah, not a problem indeed. I just can't wait for our little battle we got going on with, obviously, Bryant and Clemson. I almost said Gonzaga. Bryant and Clemson, and also I believe Tennessee and Texas do play each other as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, they do, the SEC Big 12 Challenge.
Yeah, so we'll be looking forward to that one as well and all the games we got going on this year. But obviously 15 days, 2 weeks and a day till the season begins. I cannot be more excited to be a college basketball fan. And you should start dialing into this season because it's going to be a very good one and a very exciting one and a very interesting one with a lot of fans coming back to the stadiums. We'll see how that has a big play as the season begins. But, yeah, 15 days. Thank you guys for watching as always. And it's always March, baby.
Always March, baby. Thank you guys for tuning in.